Track 7, London Landmarks. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always fascinated when I hear our next contributor's voice. He has a particular accent which I find quite compelling. I'm talking about Lloyd Grossman, and here he is talking about the Royal Artillery Memorial.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I think of her wherever
I'm Lloyd Grossman, and I've selected the Royal Artillery Memorial for my London Beyond Sight landmark. The traffic island at Hyde Park Corner has become a military pantheon. In the middle, there's the Triumphal Arch, which commemorates the first Duke of Wellington, the hero of the Napoleonic War. And then after the Great War, the Royal Artillery Memorial was erected on the west side, and the Machine Gunners Memorial on the north side. That's topped by a statue of David. Subsequently, New Zealand and Australia have erected their own war memorials here. And most recently, the memorial to Bomber Command was built just across the road. So we're in the midst of a tribute to those who lost their lives in war. We often think that the really overpowering memorials to the Great War are in France and Belgium on the Western Front battlefields. But the Royal Artillery Memorial is not only built on a monumental scale, it's also packed with a huge amount of emotional content. It is very moving. It's on the extreme west side of the traffic island. There's a chain fence there which keeps you safe from all the taxis and cars and buses that roar past. The memorial is bigger than a double-decker bus. It's a huge chunk of white Portland stone. It is 13 meters long from north to south, 6 meters wide from east to west, and 9 meters high. It's very big. The ground slopes down towards the south, so the ledge that forms the base of the memorial is at knee height at the north end, but it's hip height at the south. There are a couple of steps at each end which lead up to the ledge, so you can walk all the way around and explore the decorative elements close up. The memorial rises in tiers like a wedding cake, with scenes sculpted in low relief on the east and west side and at each corner. And on top of the memorial is a giant howitzer. That's a type of heavy gun used by the artillery. It's carved from stone, and it's a third bigger than a real howitzer, and its twin barrels aim to the south, and as this is London, there are often pigeons perching up there. Back down on the ledge, in the center of each side, there's a plinth occupied by a larger-than-life-size bronze figure, an artillery driver to the west, an artillery captain to the south. He's holding a swagger stick. And a soldier called a shell carrier to the east, who has big artillery shells stuffed into special pockets around the hem of his greatcoat. And on the north, most moving of all, there's a fallen soldier who lies on his back. His face is all but shrouded under his cape, and his tin helmet is placed on his chest. The memorial was designed by Charles Sargent Jagger, in conjunction with the architect Lionel Pearson. Jagger was an incredible sculptor, one of the greatest British sculptors of the 20th century. The detail here is magnificent. I mean, the hobnails on the dead gunner's boots. His legs are wrapped from ankle to knee in these woolen strips called putties. And his hands emerging from under his cape are like a Rodin sculpture. This is a great work of art that's just here out in the open, available to everyone. It's magnificent. But it was very controversial when it was created in the mid-1920s because these figures clearly show suffering. And it was regarded as very shocking to show the real cost of war. So one of the most exciting things about this monument is that it makes no attempt to sanitize the experience of war. It vividly portrays the pain and the heroism and the determination of the members of the regiment. The art critic Brian Sewell calls it the sculptural equivalent of Picasso's painting Guernica, in terms of talking about the cruelty and the heroism and the endurance of war. The driver facing west is standing with his feet widely planted, and he leans back against the plinth. Howitzers, these big guns, could be pulled by a motor vehicle or by a team of six horses. And this powerful man is holding a whip in one hand and chains for shackling the horses in the other. Yet with his arms stretched out, he's put in a Christ-like pose, recalling his sacrifice. It's very subtly done, though. It's very subtly done. The fallen gunner is lying on a bronze plinth, and the stone beneath him is inscribed with a quote from Shakespeare's Henry V. Here was a royal fellowship of death. The memorial is dedicated to the 49,076 men of the Royal Regiment of Artillery who died in the First World War. The regiment's emblem is sculpted in the stone of the plinth above the fallen soldier, with a lion on one side and a unicorn on the other, supporting the royal coat of arms, with a knight's helmet above and a cannon below. Inscribed all around the top of the monument on the frieze are the countries where the artillery were fighting. On the east side, it's Mesopotamia, Russia, Palestine, Central Asia, Persia, Africa, and so on. Not just the European front. So you get the sense from this that the Great War was truly a world war. More recently, a plaque set into a shallow plinth that was added at the south end commemorates more war dead. This time, the 29,924 men of the Royal Artillery who gave their lives in the Second World War. Yet, although the memorial leaves us in no doubt about the sheer scale of war, this is a very approachable monument because it's very human. The wall reliefs are vignettes, little scenes from the trenches, men and horses trying to drag a heavy gun through the mud, soldiers waiting by a blasted tree, other soldiers lifting the body of an injured comrade on their shoulders as they head back towards their trench. These are scenes about war, but they're also about people. So you see these little, almost domestic details. There's a frying pan or a saucepan and a water bucket hanging up on the northwest corner. And on the northeast corner, there's a ruined building. The bricks are falling in. It's probably a church or a chapel, because in a little niche, there's a Madonna and child who've been miraculously protected from the wreckage of war. You just keep finding more and more intriguing details here that make you really think about all the people this monument was dedicated to. So it reminds us that war was about millions of individuals, and every one of them had their own story. I love public sculpture, and when I first moved to London in 1974, this was one of the most extraordinary things I saw. To me, more than any other war memorial, it points up the fact that war is about individuals, and it speaks to us.
Well, I can honestly say that in all my trips to London, I really haven't noticed that memorial. How could I possibly have missed it? It sounds a really powerful and moving sculpture. I do know that when I visited Ypres a few years ago, I remember looking up at the Menin Gate and being mesmerised by the names of all the regiments carved on the white surface. That's another striking monument to remarkable men and women.